Shabbos Daf Chaf Beis. We are starting on the very bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. We are continuing our discussion regarding the mitzvahs of Ner Chanukah. Amar Rav Kahana Darsh Rav Nasan Bar Minyumi Mishmei Derav Tanchum. Rav Kahana Darshan's in the name of Rav Nasan Bar Minyumi, in the name of Rav Tanchum, Ner Shel Chanukah Sheinichal Amala Mechaf Amah. If the Ner Chanukah is placed above the ground higher than 20 Amos Psula, it will be disqualified. One does not fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah Kesukah Kamavui. It is no different than the halachas of Sukkah and that of Mavui. In the beginning of Masechta Sukkah and in the beginning of Masechta Erevin, the first sugya of both of those Masechtas deal with the height of the Schach and the height of the Korah of a Mavui. And when we start each of those Masechtas, we're going to discuss those topics in detail. But the Gemara points out over here that the common denominator between Sukkah, Mavui, and Ner Chanukah is they each one of them have this height restriction where it cannot be placed above 20 Amos. And if the Ner Chanukah is done so, placed above 20 Amos, it would be Psula. Amar Rav Kahana Darash Rav Nasan Bar Minyumi Mishmei Derav Tanchum Mai Dechsiv. The pasuk says, Vabor Reik Ein Bo Mayim. The pit is empty, there was no water in it. When they threw Yosef HaTzadik into the pit, so they threw him into a pit that was empty and had no water, and the pasuk seems to be slightly superfluous. So if the Torah says that the pit is empty, so obviously it had no water. What is the Torah trying to teach me when it says it does not have any water? So it doesn't have any water, but it has snakes and scorpions in that pit. What was the purpose of the Gemara giving us this drasha? So it could very well be that the Gemara just wants to allude to the fact that despite the fact that Yosef was put in a very precarious situation and really his life should have ended, but nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved him, and just speaking to the Nisim and Niflaos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did on behalf of Yosef. Additionally, it could also be that the drasha is also speaking to the idea that the brothers themselves did not know about this. Because, as you see in the context of the story, the entire reason why they threw him into the pit is so that they wouldn't kill him, meaning that the plan A was to kill him, and then plan B was, no, let's not do that, but rather let's throw him into a pit. So it would seem that the brothers did not notice this, and maybe that's also the point of the drasha as well. Why does this drasha come up over here? So it's the same Baal Memra. Is there a connection between the drasha that we just learned regarding Yosef and the pit having to do with Ner Chanukah? So probably the answer is yes, but I cannot, off the top of my head, suggest anything that I've seen recently. Amar Rava, continuing in the Gemara. Ner Chanukah mitzvah lahanicha betefach hasmucha lepesach. The best placement of the Ner Chanukah is to put it by the door, by the entrance of the door. Veheicha manechle, and where exactly? Rav Acha b'rei d'Rav Amar miyamin. So Rav Acha says to put on the right side, Rav Shmuel midifte Amar mismol, and Rav Shmuel says to put on the left side, v'hilchasa mismol, and the halacha says the Gemara is to put it on the left side. Kidei shetei Ner Chanukah mismol mezuzah miyamin. So that the Ner Chanukah as you enter is going to be on your left side. The mezuzah is going to be on your right side. So as you're walking through the door, powerful imagery, you're going to be surrounded by mitzvos. A mezuzah to the right and a menorah to the left. Amrav Yud, Amrav Asi, Asa Larsos Moska Negin Ner Chanukah. One is forbidden from counting money using the Ner Chanukah as your illumination. So when it was said in front of Shmuel, so his reaction, his response is, I don't understand. Ner Chanukah doesn't have Kedusha, meaning it's a mitzvah to light Ner Chanukah, but it's not a Chefzo Shel Kedusha, meaning if you're talking about something which is a Chefzo Shel Kedusha, so then we could talk about an Isser Hana'ah. But over here, it's not a Chefzo Shel Kedusha, it's a Chefzo Shel Mitzvah. And so right now, what Shmuel's thinking is that something that only has the status of a mitzvah, so what would be the big deal if we count the money against the Ner Chanukah? So Maskel of Rav Yosef, Echidam Kedusha Yeshbo. So Rav Yosef says, let me ask you a question. When you shecht an animal and you have the mitzvah opportunity of Kisir Hadam, so does the blood have Kedusha? D'tanya. And the Gemara here quotes the Braisa of Ishafach V'chisa. So the Torah says that you're going to shecht the animal, and after you shecht the animal, so then you're going to cover the blood of the animal. Now this is talking about the mitzvah of Kisir Hadam. The Pesukim in Parshas Achrayimos introduce us to this mitzvah of Kisur Adam, that when you shecht either a chayer or an oaf, so you are required to cover the blood that goes onto the ground, Kisur Adam ba'afar, and so this mitzvah, the Gemara over here gives very clear instructions in terms of how to do the mitzvah. Now, if we didn't have the clear instructions of the Gemara, here's what one would have thought. In other words, after you shech the bird, after you shech the chaya, and the blood goes down on the ground, so now the blood's already on the ground, so you just simply kick some dirt on top of the ground. So one would think that that's a reasonable way to do it. What the Bryce is telling us is no. By virtue of the fact that the Torah puts together these two verbs of v'shafach v'chisa, so b'me'esh shafach yichaseh, so the way that you shecht it, i.e. with your hands, so that's the same way you're going to do the mitzvah of kisui adam, meaning with your hands. And the Bryce spells it out, shalo yichaseh b'regel, shalo yeh mitzvah b'zuyas alav. You're not supposed to cover it with your feet, meaning don't just kick dirt on top of the blood, but rather bend down, pick up dirt with your hands, and put the dirt on top of the blood. You want to perform the mitzvah in the most respectful way possible. So the same thing over here. Meaning you have Ner Chanukah. It's not a Chesed Shel Kedusha, it's a Chesed Shel Mitzvah. But so what? Meaning as a Chesed Shel Mitzvah, so there's this idea that you don't want to be Mevazeh Mitzvah. You don't want to disgrace a mitzvah. And so if I start counting money by the Chesed Shel Mitzvah, that's a Bizui Mitzvah. And one's not allowed to do that. So, and we learn it from the halachas regarding Kisui Adam. Bami name Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Mali, Sapik Minay Soka Kol Shiva. So the question was asked from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, can somebody get benefit from the decorations of Sukkah, all 7 days of Sukkot? So much like nowadays, we decorate our Sukkah, so back then they decorated their Sukkah as well. Their Sukkah decorations were much more organic. And when I say more organic, meaning they used actual fruits, clusters of grapes and olives. So they used the actual fruits in order to decorate their Sukkah. Now, being that it was part and parcel of the sukkah, so it had the status of nois sukkah. And as we're going to be discussing now in the course of the sugya, so the nois sukkah, so now it is basically a mitzvah. It's part and parcel of the mitzvah of sukkah. And the question of the Gemara is that let's say Chol HaMoed, you're sitting in the sukkah, and you look up and you see a wonderful cluster of grapes. Now, it happened to have been that you hung it up over there as part of your nois sukkah, but you're thinking to yourself, boy, would I love to eat that right now? So can you pull down the grapes as one of your nois sukkah? And make a bracha, and eat your nois sukkah. So Amrle Hari Amru Asur L'Artzos Mas Keneged Ner Chanukah. So the response that he gives to him is, look, I know the halacha regarding Ner Chanukah. You're not allowed to count money by Ner Chanukah. Since you're not allowed to count money by Ner Chanukah, so here too as well, you're not allowed to make use of the nois sukkah. Meaning the idea is that Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah, and so therefore you're not allowed to make mundane usages out of a mitzvah. So say to over here, the grapes that you hung up as part of your nois sukkah now is part and parcel of the chetz of the mitzvah. And so therefore you're not allowed to make mundane use out of your mitzvah. So I'm Rav Yosef. So when Rav Yosef hears the answer, he liked the argument, but what he didn't like is the way it was presented. Mare de Avraham, my master of Avraham, meaning, oh my God, talo itanya b'delo tanya. What did you do? You're teaching me a halacha regarding nois sukkah based on a halacha regarding Ner Chanukah. Which one of those halachas is platformed on a braisa? Sukkah, Tanya. Chanukah, lo Tanya. Sukkah is based on a braisa. Chanukah is not based on a braisa. The Tanya, and the first thing the Gemara does is introduce us to the braisa. Sichacha kehilchasa. If you put the schach on correctly on your sukkah, v'itra, and then you adorn your sukkah, bikra, memuvis dinim ha-mitsuyarim, using murals, v'talaba egozim afar sekim shkedim v'rimonim aparchilein avim v'atro shel shibalim yeno shmanim v'slasos. And then you basically decorate the sukkah with all these various types of produce. Nuts, pomegranates, clusters of grapes, ears of wheat, wine, oil. Wine and oil, by the way, it must be that they had a bottle of wine and they hung it up as part of their nois sukkah. And oil, slasos, and even flour. So once you designate them as part and parcel of your nois sukkah, Aser lihistapik mehem ad motzei yom tova achron shel chag. You are not allowed to get benefit from them until the end of Yontov. V'im hisna aleihem hakol lefi tanah. Now, if when you put it up, you made a tanai, so a precondition in the nois sukkah going into sukkah will allow you to partake of it during sukkah. But without the built-in tanai, so then you have to assume that it has the status of a nois sukkah, and therefore one is not allowed to get benefit from it for the entire duration of sukkahs. Anyway, that's a braisa. So El Amar Rav Yosef, Avon Dekulun Dam. So Rav Yosef says, look, okay, so as far as between Ner Chanukah and nois sukkah is a braisa, and Ner Chanukah is not even a braisa, so really you should start with nois sukkah. But the truth of the matter is, says Rav Yosef, is that the real granddaddy of all these halachas is really Kisur Adam, meaning Kisur Adam is a pasuk. We darshan that how should I do Kisur Adam? I should do it with my hand. What did we learn from the fact that you should be doing it with your hand? That the fact is that it is a bizarre mitzvah to kick dirt on top of the blood. Since you're doing a mitzvah, you should be doing it with your hand. So now we have in our head this idea of to be mechabed a mitzvah and not to be mevaz a mitzvah. And then we extend it to Naisukah and then we extend it to Ner Chanukah. Okay, and just as a side point, before we go on in the Gemara, so there is a Tosfos over here, a Sukkah Tanya, where Tosfos says that as far as Naisukah is concerned, it seems to be that we have two ideas that you're not allowed to pull down the grapes that was established to be part and parcel of your Naisukah. One is what our Gemara is discussing right now, and that is this idea of you don't want to be Mevaza Mitzvah, and the other one, which the Gemara in Sukkah describes, which is this idea of Huksa LeMitzvah, that once I set it up as part and parcel of my Sukkah, so now it is it's muksa, but not muksa in the sense like Shabbos muksa. Muksa in the sense that now it's set aside for a mitzvah, and I can't be using it for other purposes. It's earmarked. And Tosus has a discussion over here. You can see it inside in terms of are these two reasons different reasons? Is there a reason why there are two different reasons? I have both this idea of bizu and mitzvah, and I also have this idea of huksa l'mitzvah. Okay, so see Tosus for a lengthier discussion about that particular point. We continue in the Gemara. We are towards the bottom of Chav Beis Amar Alef at the two dots. Itmar. Rav Amar Ein Madlikin Miner Liner. So Rav says that one is not allowed to light from one of the menorahs to another menorah. We will explain the reason momentarily. Shmuel Amar Madlikin. And Shmuel says that one is allowed to. You're allowed to light from one menorah to another menorah. Rav Amar Ein Matir Tzitzis Mibeg LeBeged. Rav's of the opinion that you're not allowed to take tzitzis off of one beged. Let's say you have Dal Kanafos. You have a four-corner garment, and for whatever reason, you want to take off the tzitzis from this and put it on the other. So Rav says that you're not allowed to do that. Shmuel Amar Matir Mibeg LeBeged. And Shmuel's of the opinion that you are allowed to move it from one beged to another. And once again, we're going to go over the reasons momentarily. Rav Amar Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon B'Greira. Rav's of the opinion that we don't follow like Rabbi Shimon regarding the dragging of a bench. The dragging of a bench is a topic that we're going to be seeing time and again throughout our Masechta. This is the issue of Davar Sheina Miskaven. When I violate a malacha on Shabbos with no intention. So let's say, for example, I'm dragging a bench along the ground, but only because I want to get the bench from point A to point B. And it may cause a groove in the ground. So I had no intention to make the groove in the ground. In fact, the only thing I wanted to do was just simply move it from point A to point B. So, and the fact that it only may cause a groove in the ground. So this is what's called in halacha Davar Sheina Miskaven. A Davar Sheina Miskaven on Shabbos is a machlokas hatanaim, whether or not it is mutter or asr. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that it's mutter, and Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that it is asr. Now, if it is a heavy bench and it's for sure going to drag a hole in the ground, make a groove in the ground, this is what's called a psik resha. We're not talking about that, we're just talking about a simple davar sheina miskaven. So Shmuel is of the opinion that we do follow like Rabbi Shimon. Rav says that the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon, or Shmuel Amar halacha to Rabbi Shimon Begreira, and Shmuel says that the halacha is in fact like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to the topic of Davar Sheina Miskaven. So, there are three issues over here that are subject to a debate between Rav and Shmuel. On all three of them, Rav is Machmir, and Shmuel is Mekel. Now, as far as the halacha is concerned, Amar Abai, we continue in the Gemara. Kol Mile Damar Avi Karav. Abai says that as far as my master is concerned, whenever the Gemara speaks about Abai, referring to his own Rebbe, so he's talking about Rabba. So Rabba, he says that whenever he followed the halacha, he always followed like Rav. Labar mihani tlas David kishmol, aside from these three halachas that we just went over, where he in fact goes like Shmuel. Madlika miner l'ner, one is allowed to light from one menorah licht to another menorah licht. Umatir mi bega lebega, one is allowed to take tzitzis off of one four-corner garment to put on top of another, to tie it into another four-corner garment. V'alacha k'Rabbi Shimon b'Greira, and the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon as it relates to dragging a bench. D'tanya Rabbi Shimon amar gara adamita kisei v'safsa uvavad shalo yiskaven la'asos chritz. So this is a braisa. Rabbi Shimon allows one to drag a bench or a chair or a longer bench along the ground as long as his intention is not to make a groove in the ground. And we'll add that it's not definitely going to happen. If it's definitely going to happen, that's a psik resha. And Rabbi Shimon agrees that by a psik resha, that would be us that we're talking about, where it's only possible. Okay. So putting aside now the topic of psik resha, we're going to come back to our topic, and that is lighting from one menorah licht to another. So let's just remind ourselves that it's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, whether or not you're allowed to be madlik miner l'ner. Now there is also the other topic, which we're just going to discuss really briefly, and that is moving tzitzis from one beged to another beged. But our main focus and really the balance of today's daf is going to be talking about the topic of lighting from one ner to another ner. Now, the Gemara continues and further analyzes this particular halacha. Yasev hahu me rabbanan kamei derav adar ba'avav yasev kamar, time of the Rav. Now, let's go over what exactly is behind the shita of Rav. Meaning, when he said that one is not allowed to light from ner to ner, so there is one of two ways to understand why it is that Rav objects to the idea that one is not allowed to light from one ner to another. One is, the Gemara continues, Mishum Bizuei Mitzvah. Well, maybe the issue is because of Bizuei Mitzvah. Now, Bizuei Mitzvah in this regard means what? Bizuei Mitzvah, if you take a look at Rashi, Miner L'ner Mishum Bizuei Mitzvah, Shemad L'kisam She'enam Min HaMitzvah, Miner Shal Mitzvah, U'mimen Amad L'kashar. So here's the way we're envisioning it. Imagine now a typical menorah. Now, the wicks on the menorahs are typically very short. And so when I'm lighting from one light to another, so it's not going to be a direct lighting. But rather, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a matchstick. And if you can imagine now one of the menorah already lit, one of the candles already lit. So now what I'm going to do is with my match, I'm going to light my match with the already lit menorah. And then I'm going to go ahead and light another light with that match that I just lit. And the Gemara describes it as being a Bizuei Mitzvah. Why is this called a Bizuei Mitzvah? So the Rashi that I just read would seem to indicate the following. Because if I were to light directly from one menorah light to another menorah light, so I'm going directly from one mitzvah to another. That's not a Bizuei. But by virtue of the fact that I have to light this mundane matchstick in the middle. Now, obviously, you can imagine that it's not the biggest bizayon in the world, meaning I'm only doing this so in order to facilitate, in order to light the other menorah, but still, in order to now light the second menorah, to light the second light, I have to be going from one mitzvah, then transfer it to a non-mitzvah item, i.e. the matchstick. Now I'm going to then transfer it over to the second menorah light. So the Gemara describes that as a bizayon mitzvah. And the Gemara now is contemplating that perhaps, and this is one of the Amoraim saying in front of Rav Adar Bar Ava, this is in fact maybe the shita behind Rav, the explanation behind Rav. Amar lu lo titzitzi lei. So Rav Adar Bar Ava dismisses this altogether. He says that's not the pshat within the shita of Rav. Time of the Rav Mishum Dekam Machish Mitzvah, you misunderstood. The real reason behind Rav is because you're Machish Mitzvah, you're diminishing from the mitzvah. Now, diminishing from the mitzvah, so what does that mean? So if you look at Rashi over here, when I go ahead and light one menorah from another menorah, and even if I did it directly, so for a moment in time, it's going to look like I've minimized the light of the first menorah, the one that was already lit. Rashi writes, Achushay, so the merse command to shakal nahara, it looks like you're taking light away. And you're like taking a little bit of the oil away from it. So for a moment in time, it may be more of an appearance issue than an actual issue. Of course, when it comes to a fire just is able to pass along and meanwhile still maintain it's an original source, the same potency. All that's understood, but just for a moment, it gives the appearance that there's a hachasha, that there's going to be a weakening, a diminishment of the fire. And that's really behind the shita of Rav in terms of why he objects to lighting from one menorah to another menorah. So my beinah, so the Gemara now points out, so basically we have in front of us two possible reasons why Rav is of the opinion that ain malikim ner l'ner, that you're not allowed to light from one ner to the other ner. One reason that's given is because of Bizuei Mitzvah, and the other one is because of being Machish Mitzvah. Now the Gemara says, now if we were to understand these two reasons, we would understand the nafkamina between them. My binayu, yuka binayu, the kamadlik mishraga lashraga. Let's say I were to light directly from one to another. Now, it's kind of hard to imagine because our menorahs are extraordinarily rigid and the wicks are really short. But if we could just imagine either A, maybe the menorahs are not as rigid, or B, maybe the wicks are a little bit longer. We need just a little bit of imagination. But if we can go directly from one light to another, so mandam remishim bizuei mitzvah mishraga lashraga madlik. If the issue is bizuei mitzvah, the bizuei mitzvah is only because I'm using a non-mitzvah item, i.e. the matchstick in the middle. But once I'm able to remove the matchstick in the middle, I'm lighting directly from one mitzvah light to another mitzvah light, so that is not a bizuei mitzvah, and that would be fine. But mandam remishim achushei mitzvah mishraga lashraga nami asar. But if the issue is achushe mitzvah, the diminishment of the mitzvah, that the moment that I am lighting from one to two, So one for a moment in time is going to be diminished, and even though I'm lighting directly, but I'm still diminishing the light of the original. And so therefore, it would be aser. So this would be a nafka minute between the two differences behind Rav. And so let us just quickly recap what we have so far. We have the halacha of Rav, of Ein Malikim in Ner L'Ner, that one is not allowed to light from one light to another. We have two possible reasons why that is, either because of a Bizui mitzvah or because of a Chashas mitzvah. And the nafka minute between the two is a direct lighting from one menorah to another menorah, from one light to another light. If the issue is Bizui mitzvah, so there is no Bizui mitzvah because I'm going directly from one mitzvah to another mitzvah with no intermediate. However, if the issue is a chashas mitzvah, so then you wouldn't be allowed to do it, because the moment that I'm lighting using the first light that already was lit, so then for a moment in time I am diminishing it, or at least giving the appearance that I'm diminishing it, and so therefore that would be a chashas mitzvah, and therefore it would be aser. Now it's interesting, by the way, because if you remember how this entire discussion started, it said that this is a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Meaning Rav says, Ein Malik Miner L'Ner, and Shmuel says that you are Malik Miner L'Ner. And it's also interesting because Rabbi says, and Abayi quoted his Rebbe Rabbi saying this, that in all these halachas I follow like Shmuel. Normally I follow like Rav, and these halachas I follow like Shmuel. And it is interesting that the Gemara now will be spending a significant amount of time within the Shita of Rav, even though the Gemara has noted that there are Amoraim who favor the position of Shmuel. Okay, so I understand there's a lot to take into consideration in this entire sugya, but we're going to continue now, because the Gemara is going to still now analyze the Shita of Rav, Meis of Rav Avia, and with that we're going to see together a Tosefta from Meister Sheni. Meister Sheni, so on the first, second, and fourth and fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, so the second Meiser is going to be collected, and you're going to take that Meiser, which is now we're going to call Meiser Sheni, you're going to bring it to Yerushalayim, you're eating it in Yerushalayim. It has a limited level of Kedusha where it has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. What you can do if going to Yerushalayim is going to be a bit taxing is you could redeem it onto money. And the money now is going to have the Kedusha of Meister Sheni. And so the Mishnah of Meister Sheni, in this case it's a Tosefta, is going to be describing the following scenario. Sela shel Meister Sheni, as we now on the top of the Amud Beis. Ein shoklin kenegdo dinari zahav. Ve'afilu chalav Meister Sheni acher. So, you cannot use your coin of Meiser Sheni as a counterbalance. Your Meiser Sheni coin has Kedusha, and to be using it as a counterbalance is, says the Tosefta, inappropriate. And not only is it inappropriate, you're not allowed to use it as a countermeasure, as a counterbalance. Remember back in the day when they would measure, so they would basically use a balance. And they would put a weight on one side, and they put a weight on the other side, and they would make sure that everything was a proper weight. When the items were balanced one against the other. Over here, what the Bryce is telling us is that one is not allowed to take the Meister Sheni coin and put it on one side of the scale, and take another coin and put it on the other side of the scale. And even if I'm doing so that the right now the Chulin coin will eventually be used as a Meister Sheni coin. But because it's currently not a Meister Sheni coin, so therefore one is not allowed to do so. Now, the Gemara is going to set up the question. And here, there's just a lot to keep in mind, but we could do this. So if the debate between Rav and Shmuel is only when you're going directly from one to another, but if I'm using some sort of matchsticks as an intermediate usher, Shmuel, even Shmuel was going to agree that that's going to be usher, halo to have a tiyufta. So then we have no problem over here with this brisa whatsoever. Meaning, remember, we have two issues on the table. We have either a chashas mitzvah or we have bizui mitzvah. Now, we said that when it comes to lighting from one light to another light on the Chanukah licht, so if the issue is that it is a bizui mitzvah, that it is a degradation of the mitzvah, well, that's if I'm only going to be lighting it using a medium, something mundane in between. But if I'm not lighting it directly, so then that would be fine. Now, if we're going to take the position over here that when lighting it directly, it would be fine, and let's just assume right now that everyone's in agreement that that would be fine. And furthermore, when I'm using a medium, not only would Rav say that that would be problematic, but even Shmuel would say that that's problematic using a medium, because Shmuel, to a certain degree, also agrees to this idea of bizui mitzvah. So now let's consider. Okay. We are now saying that lighting from one menorah to another using a medium, using a mundane medium in the middle, is going to be problematic according to everyone, both according to Rav and according to Shmuel. Good. Now let's look at what we're describing over here. Weighing a mundane coin against a Maaser Sheni coin. Now, even if the mundane coin is intended to be used as a Maaser Sheni coin, what is that analogous to? That is analogous to lighting from one menorah to another menorah using a chulin intermediary. Over here, it's similar. It's not exactly the same, but it's very similar. I'm measuring with a Maaser Sheni coin, a non-Maaser Sheni coin, only so that later it will be used as a Maaser Sheni coin. So that's basically lighting from one to another using a chulin intermediary. That's the Gemara's comparison. And the Gemara says, now, if everyone is in agreement, both Rav and Shmuel are in agreement, that using a chulin intermediary would constitute a bizui mitzvah, so then the brisa that we just quoted is in perfect alignment with this position. Ela I amar, however, bikinsa namisharei, that when Shmuel says that it would be permissible. What Shmuel is saying is that it would be permissible even if I'm using the matchstick intermediaries, where basically I am starting off with one menorah light. I take a mundane matchstick, I light it, and then I use it to light the second one. And even though Rav objects to it, but Shmuel says it would be okay. If that would be true, so then how would you understand this brisa? Because the brisa is analogous to that very case. In that case, Shmuel said that it would be okay. And in this brisa, Shmuel would seemingly say it would be okay, but the brisa says it's not okay. And we have a very hard time imagining that Shmuel is going to be arguing with this brisa. So ha tehavit yufta. And therefore, this brisa would be problematic. Amar Rabba, so Rabba gives an answer. And Rabba says, no. Gzer Hashem alo yichavim mishkalosa v'kamapik lulechulin. So the Gemara says, no. Let's assume right now that me'ikar adin it would be fine. Meaning, let's go over what just happened. You took your Maaser Sheni coin. You put it on one side of the scale. You took a chulin coin. You put it on the other side of the scale. And you plan on using this chulin coin as a Maaser Sheni coin. And it's true that is analogous to taking matchsticks and lighting it from one menorah light and igniting another menorah light. And let's say for the time being that according to Shmuel that would be fine. And so that would mean that over here Shmuel would say that it's fine as well. However, the Braisa says that it's prohibited. So what the Gemara now is suggesting in defense of Shmuel is the following. That maybe over here the truth of the matter is that it's not a bizui mitzvah. And maybe over here it would at least in theory be totally permitted. However, the Chachamim were concerned. What would be the concern? Let's consider. After having weighed your coin against your Maaser Sheni coin, what came out is that the weight wasn't good. It wasn't a balance. And it comes out now this coin was too heavy or too light, whatever the case was. And now I'm not going to use it. I was only planning on using it if it was the right weight, but now that's not the right weight, so I'm not going to use it this go-around. And what am I going to use it for? For something else. So now it comes out, I'm not even going from one mitzvah to another mitzvah. I'm not going from Maaser Sheni to something which potentially will be Maaser Sheni. I'm going to go from Maaser Sheni to something which is chulin legamrei. And so the Gemara says, because the Chachamim were concerned about that, so over here, they disallowed it, but only because of this concern, and it's a gzera. Mesa Rav Sheshes, so Rav Sheshes continues to challenge based on the following. So the Gemara quotes over here, we saw this back in Menachos as well. In terms of the mitzvah of lighting the menorah in the Mishkan and ultimately in the Beis HaMikdash. So is it there for the light? Are we lighting it for the light? And specifically, the Gemara is asking in the Mishkan. And you know that for the 40 years that we traveled in the desert, so we didn't need it for the light. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided his own light for us to be guided throughout the Midbar. So, Ela Eidus Hila Baya Olam, but rather it's testimony for the entire world, Shashchina Shorah B'Yisrael, that the Shechina is with the Jewish people. So my Eidus, and exactly what is the Eidus, meaning what exactly about the menorah is going to be self-evident to the world population that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina is amongst us. So Amarav Zu Ner Maravi. So this is a reference to the Ner Maravi, the Western lamp. And you could see Rashi over here, and we discussed this back in Talmud extensively. And I'm not going to go through the Rashi right now, and also back in Menachos as well. In terms of whether the menorah faced a north-south trajectory or faced an east-west trajectory. And based on those two trajectories, what exactly is a Ner Maravi? So please see Rashi over here for a review of these topics. But in the meantime, however, just to make the Gemara's point succinctly, The Ner Maravi had the same amount of oil as all the other cups of the menorah, a chatilog, umimeno hayamadlik. And it was with this that all the other ones would lit. Ubahayam esayim, and with this one it would finish. And the point is that the Ner Maravi would continue being lit even though all the other ones were finished. And they would put enough oil in to last overnight, but by the time the morning came around, all the other ones were extinguished. And the Ner Maravi continued to be lit, and a daily miracle that takes place, and that is a demonstration to the Bai Olam, to the population of the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina is still amongst us. Now, what comes out over here is as follows, is that in terms of lighting the other Neros, how are they lighting the other Neros every morning? Excuse me, they're not lighting the Neros in the morning. According to the Rambam, I'll just insert this parenthetically. According to the Rambam, they do the Neros are lit both in the evening and in the morning as well. But most of the Rishonim say that they're lit just in the evening. Okay, close parentheses. Anyway, so how are they lighting the other menorahs? They're lighting it from the Ner Maravi. Now, what we see over here is this is obviously a precedent in the Torah that you're lighting me Ner Lener. Now, this is not talking about Ner Hanukkah. But as far as proofs are concerned, this happens to be a dynamic proof in that the menorah itself is being lit miner lener. So the Gemara says, Hacha kevin tekviya neros. Now, when it comes to the menorah in the Mishkan, there is no flexibility whatsoever. Lo sagid lo mishkal ve'ad luke. So over here, obviously, the only way you could be lighting from one lamp of the menorah to the other lamp of the menorah is only by using some sort of intermediary. And the intermediary, obviously, is not going to be a davar shebekedusha. So isn't it a Bizayon mitzvah? And it's certainly going to be Hachashas mitzvah. And the Gemara makes exactly this point. Kasha bein lamanda amre bishum bizuyin mitzvah, u bein lamanda amre bishum achushe mitzvah. So the Gemara says, okay, so this is going to be problematic both based on both approaches that we had in explaining Rav. So tirgam of Rav Papa bipsilos arukos. So the Gemara makes a suggestion, well, maybe the wicks over here were really long, and so therefore we lit directly from one to the other. So the Gemara says, so lamandam mishum achushe mitzvah kasha. So the Gemara says, that's wonderful, but that doesn't fully answer our question. Because within the Shita of Rav, we had two explanations. One is bizayin mitzvah, which means that you cannot light one to the other using an intermediary. But to light directly would be okay. That's fine. But the other explanation that we gave within Rav is hachashas mitzvah, that when I'm lighting from one to two, so one at least will be appearing as if it's diminished, and that's hachashas mitzvah. And even if I lit directly, that still would be a concern. And even within this answer that we had a very long wick, but that still would be objectionable to the position of hachashas mitzvah. So Kasha, the Gemara ends off by saying, that's in fact difficult. Meaning you're right, that's a difficulty, and the Gemara does not have a solution to this problem. So my havi Allah. So the Gemara now wants to come around full circle, and the Gemara now wants to know what exactly is going to be the better way of understanding Rav. And again, let's just remind ourselves. So we have over here, let's go back to the beginning of the sugya and just get ourselves really comfortable with the shittas. So we start off with the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, whether or not malika miner lener, that one is allowed to light from one menorah to another menorah. And this was a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Shmuel said that it would be fine, and Rav said that it would be usser. The Gemara doesn't give an explanation behind Rav. The Gemara just simply said that Rav said that it is usser. Within these positions of Rav and Shmuel, so Abai noted that his Rebbe Rabbah, generally who did paskin like Rav, but in these three halachas, this being one of the three halachas, so he paskined like Shmuel. Notwithstanding, the Gemara then launched into a lengthy discussion behind what exactly is the svar behind Rav, and the Gemara offered two svars behind Rav, one having to do with Bizayin Mitzvah, that it would be a degradation where if I'm lighting from one menorah to another, and in having to do so, I'm going to have to go through an intermediary. And that intermediary is a non-mitzvah entity. So then that would be a bizayon. And that's one possibility. But to light directly from one to the other would be fine. Or the other possibility of the Gemara is that it's a hachashas mitzvah. Hachashas mitzvah, the idea being, is that when I'm lighting from one to the second, so in that moment that I'm diminishing when I'm lighting from one, so that serves as a slight diminishment of its fire. And that would be considered a hachashas mitzvah, and that's objectionable. And maybe that's the reason behind Rav. And the Gemara has gone back and forth in terms of which of these two seem to be the better way to explain Rav. We saw a Mishnah Tosefta regarding Meister Sheni. We saw a Braisa regarding the menorah that was used in the Mishkan. And the Gemara right now is at a bit of an impasse. Number one, in properly understanding what is behind the Shita of Rav. And also, whether or not the halacha falls like Rav or the halacha falls like Shmuel. So my havayalah. So when the Gemara gets embroiled in this discussion, and as I just went over, it's a complex discussion. So the Gemara, my Havi Allah, the Gemara's expression of my Havi Allah is basically, let us all gather together, let's gather ourselves, and now let's see if we can formalize and articulate what in fact the halach is going to be. Amar Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua Chazina, I halach ose mitzvah madlikin miner laner, v'i hanacha ose mitzvah ein madlikin miner laner. So the way that Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua wants to present the problem over here is that this question of whether we could directly light from one ear to another would be contingent on another issue, and that is the issue of what exactly is the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Is it the lighting of the Ner Chanukah, or is it the placement of the menorah? Which of these two really are the essential mitzvah of the menorah? And the way he says it is that if the adlaka is in fact the asiyas mitzvah, so then one would be allowed to light from ner la ner. And let's understand this better. If the lighting of the menorah is the mitzvah, so that means that every time I'm lighting each of the lights, that I'm doing the actual mitzvah itself. And so that means that as long as I'm directly lighting from one ner to another ner, so there's no bizayin mitzvah. Why is there no bizayin mitzvah? There's only bizayin mitzvah is that when I'm taking the first ner and I'm lighting something which is a non-mitzvah entity, that's a bizayin mitzvah. But if I'm going directly from mitzvah to mitzvah, so that's not a bizayin mitzvah. If the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is the hadlaka saner, so going from one to two is directly going mitzvah le mitzvah, and that's not a bizayin. However, I hanachos a mitzvah ein madlikin miner laner. However, if the hadlak, if the hanach is a mitzvah, meaning the lighting is just a heksher mitzvah, it's just the, simply the wherewithal to get to the point of doing the mitzvah. But after you light it, now you're going to place it down. And the placing down is the mitzvah. So now what is the lighting? The lighting is a heksher. So if the lighting is a heksher, so then ein madlikin miner laner. And let's understand this. Why wouldn't you be allowed to light from ner laner? Because if the hanach is a mitzvah, so as we just pointed out, the hadlaka, let's say clearly, if the hanacha is a mitzvah, so then what's the hadlaka? The halacha is just simply a heksher. It's just simply a preparatory stage. So when I'm lighting from one light to the next light, I'm not going from mitzvah to mitzvah. I'm going from something which potentially is a mitzvah to something which is potentially a mitzvah, but I'm not going directly from one mitzvah to another mitzvah. Hence, it now qualifies as the bizayin mitzvah. Because when I'm using the first light to light something else, I'm not lighting directly something which is right here, right now, a mitzvah, but only something that will later be a mitzvah. Like we described earlier regarding the weighing of the Maaser Sheni coin. Meaning it's not currently a Maaser Sheni coin, it will become a Maaser Sheni coin. And the Gemara, that's why the Gemara earlier entertained the fact that that's a bizayin mitzvah. So here too as well, if it, the halakha is not a mitzvah, but the hanacha is a mitzvah, the halakha is only hechsher, and so therefore this would be a bizayin mitzvah, because it's not a mitzvah at the time when I'm lighting it. Ibailahu, and the Gemara now raises this as a question. Halakha osa mitzvah, hanacha osa mitzvah. Is it the halakha which makes a mitzvah, or is it the hanacha which makes a mitzvah? Tashma dama rava. And from this point forward, now the Gemara is going to try to prove which of these two is in fact going to be the mitzvah. Is it going to be the halakha, or is it going to be the hanacha? Tashma, the Gemara now is going to try to determine which of these two seem to be the better alternative. Is it the halakha, or is it the hanacha? The Amar Rava, Rava says, Hayatafus Ner Chanukah Va'omeid. A person was holding the Ner Chanukah, lit the Ner Chanukah, and then it went out. Lo Asav Lo Klum, he has done nothing. Shmamina Hanacha Osa Mitzvah. By virtue of the fact that he didn't put it down, is the reason why it is that he didn't fulfill the mitzvah. And this seems, and this would seem to be a proof that the Hanacha is in fact the critical component of the mitzvah. The Gemara says, not necessarily. Hasam Ara Omer L'Sar Chuhu Denakila. No, it just happens to be that there's no real heker. Meaning we can make the argument that really the halakha is the mitzvah. The reason why he lit it and it's not going to be considered like he did the mitzvah is because there was no heker. Meaning he was holding it to his hand. It was just, he was holding it in his hand the whole time. And the casual observer is going to say to himself, oh, he wasn't lighting that for the purposes of a mitzvah. He, for whatever reason, he needed a quick light. So he held the menorah in his hand, he lit it, and then he put it out. In other words, we could still argue that the halacha is a mitzvah, but it has to be done in a manner, in a way, which is clearly articulating that you're letting this for the purpose of the pursuing nice. Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here, Dama Rava, Hilika Bifnivosiya. Let's say you light it inside your house, and we're speaking about at a time where it was understood and everybody followed that you put the menorah at the front of your house. Lo also klum. By virtue of the fact that you laid it indoors and then you took it out, so that is not halachically valid, and you have not fulfilled the mitzvah. And the Gemara now makes its argument. E amart bishlam halakha osa mitzvah. So let's make the argument that really the halakha is the mitzvah, but halakha bimkoma bi'inan. And now, where do I need to light it? Meaning, if the halakha is the mitzvah, so I have to be lighting it in a halachically designated area. By virtue of the fact that you lit it in your house, which is not a halachically accepted area. Again, let's add in parentheses, at a time when the correct place to put it was in the front of your house. So when you lit it in your house, which was not a halachically correct area, so then bringing it outside is subsequently going to be not valid because you need to light it in the place where it is a mitzvah. Mishum hachilo aso klum, so then I understand. But ela'i amart hanacha osa mitzvah, but let's for a moment imagine that the hanacha is the mitzvah, so then good, amai lo aso velo klum. So then the b'raisa is very hard to understand. So you lit it inside your house. Okay, very good. That's just a hechsher mitzvah. Now bring it to the front of your house and putting down the front of your house, if in fact the hanacha is a mitzvah, so you did the hanacha correctly. So the Gemara says, Hasam nami aro omer l'sorchu hu da'adlaka. So the Gemara says, no, we could still argue that really the halakha is the mitzvah. And the reason why over there it's not going to work is because, again, it's not enough of a hecker. People who see you doing this will not understand that you're lighting it for the purposes of the mitzvah. Consider that you lit it inside your house, and people are going to say, okay, he needs some light in his house. And the fact that he walked outside with the light, okay, he walked outside with the light. But in other words, it's not demonstrative enough that he lit the menorah for the purposes of the mitzvah. So we could still argue that really hanacha osa mitzvah, but it just happens to be that in that case, he's not yotze the mitzvah because there was not enough of a hecker involved. Okay, and let's recap. As we have now concluded, Shabbos Chav Beis. We started this daf with a discussion of what are the maximum height in terms of the Ner Chanukah. It cannot be above 20 amas high. Lo shalta be'ena. We went over another halacha medrash regarding Yosef and the pit. And then we went and discussed Ner Chanukah for the duration of today. The halachas that we went over is that it has to be by the front door. On the right side, on the left side, a debate, but the Gemara's conclusion is that the menorah should be put on the left side so that as you're walking in, you're going to have the mezuzah on the right side and the menorah on the left side. A lengthy discussion in the Gemara regarding Bizui Mitzvah. The first example the Gemara says is that you're not allowed to count money by the Ner Chanukah that would serve as a Bizui Mitzvah. The Gemara gave other examples where you're not allowed to be Mevaza Mitzvah. We talked about it in terms of Kisui Adam, and we spoke about it also in terms of Noi Sukkah. Three machlokes in between Rav and Shmuel. Rav is of the opinion that you're not allowed to light from one year to another by the Chanukah. Shmuel says you are. Rav says you're not allowed to take tzitzis off of one bag and put it onto another. Shmuel says you are. And the halacha of whether or not we passing like Rabbi Shimon or we do not passing like Rabbi Shimon on the topic of Adavar Sheino Miskaveh. Rav is of the opinion that we do not passing like Rabbi Shimon, and Shmuel is of the opinion that we do passing like Rabbi Shimon by Adavar Sheino Miskaveh. On the issue of Davar Shein Miskaven, we do paskin like Rabbi Shimon. That is a Davar Muskam. We paskin like Shmuel. On the issue of whether or not we are madlik from Ner Lener, or we're Matirin Mibegel Beged. So Matirin Mibegel Beged. So we do paskin like Shmuel. In terms of being madlik from Ner Lener, so the Ger of the Gemara had a very extensive discussion. In terms of the Shita of Rav, does Rav say that ein madlikim miner l'ner, that one is not allowed to light from one menorah to another? Is it because there's a bizui mitzvah involved? Because I'm going from one menorah, which is a dvar mitzvah, and assuming that I'm using some sort of intermediary to get to the next menorah licht. So I'm using something which is mundane, and going from mitzvah to mundane is considered a bizui mitzvah. If this is the correct approach, that means that going directly from one menorah to another would be acceptable. Or is the issue behind Rav HaChashas Mitzvah, that once I'm lighting from the first menorah, so at least it has the appearance that I'm going to be diminishing from its fire, that diminishment from the fire is a version of Bizui Mitzvah, we call it HaChashas Mitzvah, but if the issue is HaChashas Mitzvah, so then even a direct lighting from 1 to 2 would be a prohibited activity. The Gemara leaves this question within Rav somewhat suspended, and then the Gemara had a lengthy discussion as we turn to the Amud Beis and review the Amud Beis, where we try to cite sources that seem similar to this discussion. The weighing of Maaser Sheni coins, one using a Maaser Sheni coin against another coin. The menorah used in the Mishkan, where clearly the other lamps were lit from the Ner Maravi. And so the Gemara went back and forth in terms of whether or not we can support or not support the position of Rav. My Havila, the Gemara wanted to know, as we move towards the end of today's daf, what exactly is going to be the halacha conclusion. And instead of the Gemara giving a definitive halacha conclusion, the Gemara just simply says that this question of whether or not we're allowed to be madlik from one year to another is going to in fact be contingent on another very basic question, and that is, what exactly is the Maisa Mitzvah regarding Ner Chanukah? Is it the lighting, the Hadlaka, which is the Maisa Mitzvah, or is it the Hanacha, the placing of the menorah in its right spot? Is that going to be the Mitzvah? And as the Gemara laid out very clearly, if the Hadlaka is in fact going to be the Mitzvah, so then you would be allowed to be lighting from one menorah to another menorah. Why? Because now I am not downgrading, I'm going directly from Mitzvah to Mitzvah, and so therefore it would be fine. If, however, the Hanacha Osa Mitzvah, so the Halacha is only a Hechsher, so when I'm lighting from one menorah to another, I'm not going from Mitzvah to Mitzvah. And that is considered now a design Mitzvah, and that it would not be allowed. So this question of whether or not one would be allowed to be Madlik Miner Lener will, in fact, be contingent on the question of whether or not Halacha Osa Mitzvah or Hanacha Osa Mitzvah. And tomorrow, as we continue in this discussion and conclude on this discussion, we will arrive at a conclusion on both of these points.